Well, good morning.
Good morning.
So we continue in our lost and found short August series, just going through Luke 15. If you missed it last week, we covered the first 10 verses. The shepherd had 100 sheep. He lost one. He searched, and then he finally found his lost sheep, and then he rejoiced. And then a woman had 10 coins, and she lost one, and she searched over her whole house. And then when she found her coin, she invited her friends over and celebrated. So, spoiler alert, today's story follows the same pattern. Someone was lost, someone was found, huge party. But before we get into today's story, I want to remind us who is telling the story and who is listening. I'll just reread the first two verses of this chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So the so-called tax collectors and sinners gather around Jesus. They want to hear what he has to say. They like him. There's something about him. They want to be with him. But the ultra-religious Pharisees and teachers of the law are complaining that Jesus is associating with the wrong people, that he's welcoming sinners, that he is condoning their choices, and worst of all, eating with them. The ritual uncleanness. They're not happy about this. And we see this throughout the Gospels. But today, I know this is a very familiar story to many of us, this middle part of chapter 15, but I want us to, as we rehear this familiar story, to put ourselves in the shoes of the so-called tax collectors and sinners who want to be with Jesus. But whether it's because of a bad reputation or people saying you're a traitor, the people who claim to know God don't want to be anywhere near you. They don't even want to touch you. And these people are trying to come between you and Jesus. And Jesus tells this story. So let's put ourselves in the shoes of the so-called tax collectors and sinners. Jesus starts to tell a story after the 100 sheep and the 10 coins, tells a story about a man with two sons. So as we've gone from 100 sheep to 10 coins to two sons, the math is getting easier, but the stakes are getting higher. What could be worth more than one's child? More than 10 coins, more than 100 sheep. So the younger son makes a very bold request. That's putting it nicely. Many would say that what he asks of his father is offensive and heartless. He says, "Father, give me my share of the estate." Asking his father for his inheritance, not thinking of honoring his parents, not thinking of anyone else in the family, not even thinking of his own future. He wants the money now. And the father says yes, taking the risk that both the son and the property will be lost forever. It says, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. So once he had what he wanted from his family, he walked away from his family. He went far away, we're told, far from his family, and lacking self-control, he just spent all the money in a hurry, and it was gone. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole land, whole country, and he began to be in need. Okay, so the fun is over, not just for our younger son in our story here, but for everyone around him. Now, not only is he out of money for fun, there's no food. So the situation is not good. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Empty pockets, empty stomach, he goes and gets a job. For those first hearing this story, they would have taken note of the job with the pigs, who were considered unclean animals at the time. So this is not a great job. And he was so hungry, he wanted to eat the pig feed, but he wasn't even allowed to do that. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." This moment may not seem like much, but this is a huge turning point for the lost son. A light bulb goes off. Something inside of him wakes up. And he sets his thoughts and his heart to a return to his home. He hit bottom, although I remember some friends in Alcoholics Anonymous said that you hit bottom when you stop digging. So really, this story could have continued on a downward spiral. But no, at this moment in the story, with the pigs, hungry, alone, he thought of home. And he said, I don't know if he was talking to the pigs or to himself or what, but he said, "I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. He makes his decision. He's got his speech all prepared. He sets off for the long trip home. Still with the empty pockets and empty stomach, he is ready to admit to his family his mistakes. He is ready to admit not only that he sinned against his father, but that he sinned against God as well. He is willing to accept the role of a servant. He does not dare to ask to be accepted and welcomed as a son after what he did. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The father, at home, we don't even know how much time has passed, but he's been at home, missing his son, waiting, watching, and hoping. As soon as he saw his son coming, long way down the road, his heart was pounding. Love and compassion welled up within him, and he ran down the lane to meet his son. And when he reached him, it was all hugs and kisses. Before the son had a chance to pull out his PowerPoint and begin his official apology speech, hugs and kisses. But before I read the scripture, I did skip one verse, because the son did then start into his speech. But he didn't get very far, because the father interrupted him after he said the part about, "I am not worthy to be called your son." The father interrupted, saying to the servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate." So the hired servants were sent off to work preparing the party of the year. They're going to kill the fattened calf. It's going to be huge. Everyone's going to be invited. And for the son, his returned son, restored son, he honors him with fine new clothes and a ring. And the father says, "For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Lost sheep, found sheep, throw a party. Lost coin, found coin, throw a party. Lost son, found son, throw a huge party. Jesus told this story of the compassionate and loving father who was waiting and watching and longing for the return of his lost son. This story is for these sinners and tax collectors who have gathered around. Many of them were rejected by their own families. They were rejected by religion, but welcomed by Jesus. So the story of this father's mercy and openness to his son is the picture of God's mission to restore all the lost sons and daughters. So whether our own fathers are nothing at all like the father in the story or pretty close to the father in this story is about God and his great love for us. And regardless of the kind of relationship we have with our own parents, this is about God's love and compassion for us, his children. This is probably not a story that we would tell to our teenage children to try to get them to behave in a certain way. This is not a parenting story. This is about God's great love. Certainly this has some implications for the love of parents, for sure. But no matter what we have done and what we have experienced in our own families, God our Father loves us as we are and longs for us to return to him. Dominique Gilliard said, "We are more than the worst thing we've ever done." So as I close this morning, I want us to remember that no one is beyond God's love and compassion. No one is too sinful or has made too big of a mistake. No one is too far from God. God our Father is seeking and patiently waiting for and ready to celebrate when even just one of his lost children returns. When one of his kids is lost and is found, God rejoices. When one of his kids who was dead to sin becomes alive in Christ, they say they throw a party in heaven and all the angels rejoice. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your love. Father, shape our lives to be shaped by your love. Help us to know deep, deep down how much you love us. Help us to know deep down how much you love everyone in the whole world. Thank you for this story for the sinners and the tax collectors. Amen.